Joe, welcome.
Welcome. Thank you. Good morning.
We just met. We just met, and I already like you, man. We just get along really well. We have the same sensibility, and it ain't because we have gray hair. I don't think it has anything to do with that.
I'm getting younger.
Yeah, that's as simple as that, man. But you could be one of those guys who start to color their hair.
Yeah.
It could be one of those guys. Or the other guys who go to Turkey and get their hair.
I think it'll go bald before that.
We leave it that. The character stands a little prouder than the hairline, right?
That's right.
That's all it is. Welcome to the show, man.
Thank you.
I'm looking forward to this conversation.
So,
let me just share. Joe Mitzi?
Correct, you got it.
Yeah. Teamway General Contracting, Inc. You can reach them at 905-808-5702. Website is www.teamwaygc.com. And then on IG, you can find them under Teamway Contracting, and their email is info@teamwaygc.com. What's your service area? Where do you normally work?
We're more in Oakville, Burlington, Port Credit.
Okay, nice. Yeah, you don't go into the core?
Well, we have. The last project we did in Toronto, we did a triplex conversion there, so from start to finish.
Nice.
That was, we've done a lot of work in Toronto, especially with a lot of interior remodeling and restructuring, which is one of our fortes as well.
Yep. But you guys do the whole package.
Design and build, right? The clients don't have to do anything.
So we got a lot to talk about, because I know you got 40 years experience, and then how many... Who's on the crew? Who's the youngest, and who's you're the oldest?
I'm the oldest. Yeah. Really, how we started off this company is I had a buddy of mine. His kid was in the trim carpentry. Anyway, make a long story short, and then I had a vision. I said, you know what? Let's combine a team effort, right? And he was young. He's 29 years. Actually, he died at 29, so that's part of the story. And I started Teamway with this young guy. We were doing a lot of in-house. So I was actually working too, physically, framing. We were doing
everything. This is how far back we talking?
We were talking ever since this company started 8 years ago.
Okay.
So we had in-house. We had workers working for us, employees. And then he died in November 18th. It's going on 6 years now. And
accident or?
He had an enlarged heart. Yeah, and he died in his sleep, yeah. Oh. So from there, I went through this transition and seeing which way we could go, and I kept moving. And now I went old school, like sub everything out and I run everything. But as I was discussing with you before, I need to change to get, to improvise, get better,
But you see it. You see that you need to evolve.
100%.
Right. And but you also came, you mentioned that you came from 183, like you, the early days.
Yeah, yeah.
So you got a lot of experience even before you started going on your own and working on the stuff.
Correct. So when I started, I was 16 on my own, because back then the industry was different. It was just go, go, go. Like, you're on a job.
Just get it done.
Yeah, 500 houses, 1,000 at one site, right?
Yeah.
So I used to work by hour for this guy, and we asked for a raise, and he told us to get lost, and then I went to work somewhere else, and that was only a 25-cent raise. From $5 to $5.25.
What was the base?
$5.
$5 an hour, and you were asking for a 25-cent raise.
1984.
And he told you to go?
He told us to go. So I went to work for his competitor, and that didn't last long. He gave me $9, and then we went to this Italian. It was me and my buddy that were close friends, and then I ended up working for this Italian guy. He gave us $10 an hour, and then...
Still in the 80s?
Yeah, it was in the 80s.
Still in the 80s, 10 bucks an hour?
It happened so quick. It happened
because there was a lot of work.
There was a lot of work.
But that was right before the recession.
Correct. Right.
Then it changed.
They were just getting out of a recession in 82, right? Because the 82 one just slowly.
But then the 89-90 one was a bad one.
We got pounded. I was. That's when I was fully like taking work off builders, and starting to expand. Right. We had. I used to have like 2-3 crews, and then like 10 guys with a partner. It was like, so that's how I evolved, right? So I've always been in the housing industry. I love it. I have a passion for it. And I've learned a lot as I've come along the way. And I went, now when I teamed up with this young guy, I wanted to focus more on custom because I've went through all those phases. Right. And I learned a lot with production, right. You have to be quick. Right.
Yep. But those are valuable lessons though, too.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Because it makes you more efficient. It makes you more sharp. It gets you understanding how can I make this wheelhouse a little bit better in the next time, right?
Well, I think the value, and I think that's what we miss today. There's no value of workmanship, accountability, or taking ownership for anything. That's what I'm seeing more and more of. And for me, I think the old school mentality comes to work. They take responsibility for it, be reliable and upfront, honest, kind of. So
you think the kids of today are more concerned about how it looks on social media than how it looks in person?
I love some of the stuff that these young generation are coming, because it's teaching me.
Yep.
I remain teachable.
Yeah.
Because again, we're accountable. We have a standard,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
They're lacking. They want to be at the top of the ladder, but you need to climb the ladder. I climbed the ladder and I'm still climbing. I'm going to be 60, right? Will I retire? I don't think so.
But I'm sure that you've told them this. Like, you've said, listen, there's like A, B, C. There's 26 steps here. Like, it takes time to get there. But their mentality, I guess you see it on their faces, like, hang on a sec, I can bypass 10 of these steps. I can get the right step 11 from 2. And I'm like, yes and no. It depends what you're doing. But you still need that education on the way up.
Yeah, and I have talked to them. I actually, it's one of my passions as well. I'm very drawn to younger, the younger youth area.
The potential in people.
Yeah, correct. They feel comfortable. I feel comfortable talking to them. For the most part, I think they're hard workers. We were discussing it out there. I think through government bureaucracy and agencies, they're not allowing these kids to come in freely. There's a lot of red tape and there's no support, I think, personally.
I said they're coddling them too much. I think that I'm of a, and you're probably of the same generation. It's like, I can't remember the last time that I was actually offended. Like, I don't get offended, right? I'm just like, okay, this is what's going on. This is how it is. But there's a whole generation right now that is purposely going after getting offended. They want to be offended and they want to just vocalize. And my thought process is like, why don't you just learn something? Learn a craft, learn a skill, learn a technique, build something. Like, what happened to the days of when you were younger? You're like, I want to build something. I want to take this and build something. Even in high school, I'd be sitting in my classroom just doodling, trying to figure out ideas of things that I wanted to do. I was always trying to figure out ideas. I don't see that in the youth today.
Yeah, and you're right, and you're right. And I think it's the entitlement of a generation that we're seeing, right? The entitlement of whether it's coming from old money or whatever. But I think that ethic is wearing off. I believe it's still there. I do, but there's not enough of it. And I think for what we were discussing before, I think it's very important that as an older generation that's still inactive, we have a responsibility, I think, as well. Like, it's my responsibility to give back.
We can't just walk away from it.
You can't, because that's not
the solution here.
That's right. It's very important that we reach out, and sometimes.
Sorry. Just bring. No, you don't have to come closer. Yeah, just bring the mic closer to you.
Yeah. Even like, you know, we have to be responsible for the next generation, because if we're not, right, we're not going to have anything, right? And I think it's about putting our egos aside, and like you mentioned, the offended. As you get older, I mean, like, what does it matter anymore? It just doesn't matter, right?
It doesn't matter. And it's just, I like jokes on site. I don't care if they're cultural jokes. I don't care if they're sexual jokes. I don't care. It doesn't bother me. Funny. It's just simple as that, right? Mm-hmm, and I just think that, and I think we both agree, is that I think, politically speaking, get out of construction. You guys don't come from construction. So you don't know what construction is. If you had people wearing suits now that came from a construction, and I would look at their CV and I can speak to them in 2 minutes, I'll know whether or not they're full of BS or whatever. Then I'll say, sure, I want to hear from this person. But if you're strictly a suits person, a paper pusher, a political advisor or something like that, you don't know construction. So you shouldn't be speaking on our behalf. But when you get a lot of corruption going on, and listen, man, it's factual. There's corruption in politics. There's corruption in unions. There's corruption everywhere. Where I don't see corruption so much is in the small business owner trying to actually provide for his employees, trying to earn an honest dollar. I don't see the corruption there. Sure, there's some shady people out there. Yeah. But for the ones that really care, like yourselves, and you guys want to genuinely give opportunity to the next generation so then they can build something bigger and better than what you built. That's the objective.
Yeah. I think way back, the Shinglers started this thing, the association. I think if we had more of a unity in the trade sector, whether it, and most of us are small businesses, right? Yeah. If we stayed together in a unity, the spirit of unity, I think we'll get further ahead. It'll also educate prospects of clients.
Yeah.
It'll also educate the younger generation coming in. If we stick together, we have something to work with. But when we're fighting against each other and undercutting and pricing, you cannot get ahead. And I think over the years, I think that's why a lot of this stuff is happening too, is because we're becoming more divided. Not just divided as in working, but we're divided as a country. We're divided as human beings. There's no more value from one human to another.
Part of the fault also falls on the client, because the clients are hiring people that they shouldn't be hiring, or they're comparing your prices to people that they shouldn't be comparing it to. And I get it. We're all struggling right now. We're all trying to maximize the value of the dollar that we're being spent. Clients have to renovate. A lot of people still have to renovate. The work is there. But the unfortunate thing is that the clients will, you know, respond to that Kijiji ad for the person who doesn't have legitimate business in place, where they don't have the coverages, they don't have the protection WSABs, they don't have the certifications, they don't have any of that stuff. All that stuff costs money. It all contributes to the price that's being offered by a legitimate company. So when I see clients hire the wrong people for the dollar value and then something goes wrong, they blame the industry as a whole instead of blaming the individual that convinced them to go with them. Yeah. And that's not right.
Yeah, I totally agree. And again, I think that's why bringing all this kind of unity will eventually start penetrating the client.
Yeah, I agree totally.
So that way they get educated, right? Because I in this process myself, I'm trying to market and do other things, and a lot of these guys that they're out there, even in the media, they're comparing, like they're saying they got all these leads for these people, but then I started investigating too myself. None of these guys have WSIB, none of them. So how can you be telling me like the leads that you're getting for these type of contracts? Like we pay, I'm not a big company. We got to pay money to WSIB.
Of course.
We pay our taxes.
Of course.
then I'm part of the association as well with the Canadian Home Builders Association.
But you're doing that so then you can network, right?
Correct. But it's also being accountable.
Yeah.
Because we all make mistakes. Our jobs, for me, I run a tight ship myself. There's always something that's going to come up. But the thing is that I'm there. I'm not running off with your money.
Yeah.
I'm there. We're going to fix what we got to fix.
Yeah.
If it, whatever. And then, communication with the client, right? There's a lot of stuff that we have to do.
Now is actually, if you're a young person listening and paying attention to construction, now is actually the best time to start figuring out how to network between trades, between companies, right? Get the ego out of the way and just start reaching out and going, listen, can I stop by the site? I'll bring coffee and donuts, whatever, to the crew. Tell me how many people are going to be there. I just want to pick your brain. I want to pick your brain for like an hour. Give me an hour of your time and just introduce yourselves, handshake, say hello. This is me. We work in the same city, but these are the kinds of clients. I just want to pick your brain. And I think older people like yourself, you're going to be looking at that. Sure. I'm not going to dismiss you because you're my competition. I'm going to say, sure, I'm going to let you know what I've been through. I'm going to let you know what I'm working on, because we all need to work together.
Correct.
Instead of separating this shit. Yeah. I totally believe that. I think what happens is the government comes in and puts the wedge, right? And then it's unfortunate because I also see this too, that there's a lot of people getting attacked by the CRA. They're going after blue collar, small business owners instead of going after the big players that have the money and actually committing the crimes instead of the small players, right? Correct. And they go after the small players because they can. You never go after the hardiest and the biggest of companies. You go after the smallest, weaker ones that will not object to fines being presented and all kinds of stuff. And I was just like, it's not fair, man. It's not fair. But we've got an opportunity come April 28th to speak up.
Well, that's another topic that could go on forever. I mean, for myself, no matter who comes in there, to me, there's no difference.
Canada is still going to be Canada. I know.
Yeah, we're. I try not to listen to all the bells and the whistles and the all the drama that's going on, right? Cause
really, it's theater.
It's theater. It's meant to be that way.
It's right? Theater, right?
It distracts. It divides. It creates unrest. One of the major topics that you hear now, especially even in interaction with trades. The tariffs, because I like to ask questions too, right? Are you guys really busy? Like, what's going on? Because we're in difficult times. No matter how you look at it, right? To me, these are not tariff issues.
Nope. I've said the exact same thing.
100% or not. Like, for me, right? That's my opinion.
This was all bred and grown.
It's preset.
Been here for 10 years, but for whatever stupid reason, a lot of Canadians are just ignoring the last decade. And they're just looking at the bad man down south. And I'm like, if you really dove into tariffs, like the amount that we charge the Americans when we bring, when we, you know, their milk and their dairy, their butter, all this stuff, we're not 25, we're talking about 200% plus. So Canada is very notorious for charging tariffs to other countries. So why are we getting all bent out for 25%?
But they've been charging us tariffs to their own citizens.
I know.
Insane. Everything is increasing while you know, the fundamentals of everyday life that people need.
It's distraction. I mean, as soon as the tariff conversation came in, you know, it was like, okay, buy Canadian. I get it. But then China does the same thing, and nobody was objecting to China. I'm like, you can't, because everything you buy is Chinese. Amazon, Canadian Tire. Introducing Alt Labor Solutions, the game changer for contractors and laborers. Are you a contractor needing skilled labor, or have labor in need of quick shifts? Or how about buying, selling, or renting tools, material, and equipment? Connect easily with contractors and find resources hassle-free through Alt Labor Solutions online platform. Post job listings with project details, browse public resumes, and choose the right person for the job. Explore their job board for new opportunities and connect with top talent. Alt Labor Solutions revolutionizes the labor industry with a user-friendly interface, secure payments, and a supportive team. Visit them at altlaborsolutions.com and start connecting with other contractors today. This message is proudly supported by The Construction Life. You got to continue down the same path if you're going that way, right?
Correct. And you know, like a lot of people, I don't do it because I don't buy anything off Amazon. I'm not that computer savvy with it, or I really don't have no interest. Because if I put my mind to it, I can do it. But you know, just Walmart, just Costco, I mean, just all these companies that are still American influenced.
Right? I know.
So if you're going to stop buying and buy Canadian, then you need to get rid of all these corporations. And you're not, because they're part of the system. So again, for me, like, I just try to stay focused on what my part is to society. And my faith is really important. And that's the most important thing. And that's where I stay, right?
You probably, like me, I always got excited about meeting new clients, right? And for the most part, I never advertised to meet a new client. The word was always out there. People will always say something positive about you, about the last experience that they had with you. And then clients, they hang out. They either go to parent meetings, or they go to community events together, sporting events. You know, their son, daughters are in different leagues, whatever. And then in between goals and in between action of the drama, what's going on the field or whatever, they're like, we want to renovate. Can you make a recommendation? Then the name comes up, and then they meet you and you start talking. And then I think, and I've said it over and over, clients should choose a contractor or somebody, a tradesperson, to do work that they feel good and they feel connected with, right? If they get a sense that they're a little bit of shadiness and, you know, they're not lining up everything correctly, then don't go with that person. Mm-hmm. Doesn't matter if the number's right. It doesn't matter. Like, if they're giving you a number, that's the number that it is, you know? And if you don't trust that number that the legitimate person is giving you, then find two other legitimate people. And I guarantee you, they'll match that number more than they'll match the other one that you felt was shady.
Yeah.
And I've always said, don't hire somebody based on the money that you want to spend. Hire somebody based on the money that it is deserved to be spent on that project.
And sometimes I think, especially, I think that's an old school mentality too, right? We used to just shake a hand and go, right?
Those days.
Yeah, because, you know, today, like, I mean, I got, you know, 14-page contracts, and then you got to give them that. And also, a lot of people want it for free. It's, you know,
be fair, Joe. Take a percentage of any project that you do. How much of it is free during the process of the construction?
None of it.
No. During the, like, you'll throw this in.
Oh, yeah,
you'll throw that in.
There's all kinds.
If you were to sit down, I never sat down.
Yeah.
But if you were to sit down, I would probably say 10 to 15, maybe even 20% of it you just threw in. You just said, I'll do this. I'll just take care of it. I don't even have the conversation with the client. I just do it.
Correct.
Because you know that it'll be better for them.
Yeah.
But they never acknowledge those little
correct
nuances of niceness, right?
And especially, like, you can't, like you were saying before, you can't compare, like, you know, a design, again, it doesn't matter if you're a design and build or not. We all have something to bring to the table. It's self-worth. If I'm hiring a lawyer, they're charging me $400 an hour right off the bat. So why am I less important as a tradesperson? I think we need to, again, come back to unity as take stands for who we are. Like, we're spending a lot of time and hours, and we're no less than the accountant or the doctor. We're just doctors in different ways.
I agree.
Doctor in your house.
I agree.
And I think we should be compensated for it.
They never factor in all the time that you spend doing research. Yeah. If you spend the time and effort to go to trade shows to get educated, or you go to seminars and you try to get educated, I'm sure that you're paying attention to building envelopes, sustainability conferences, like you're doing the research, you're going online. You know, I mean, I'm sure that you probably got that face with the glasses, you're looking on the screen and you're like trying to go to different windows and trying to figure out, okay, what's new, what's here. But that's all clocking hours for the project that's coming up.
Yeah.
It's part of the price. Yeah, yeah. But clients never factor that in.
No. And it's kind of, again, I think they just need to be educated, or sometimes it's about walking away too, you know. Oh. I've had to learn how to walk away, especially in the last 6 years.
It's right? hard.
It's hard because especially, you know, based on economical circumstances, like in the industry, I'm learning more and more, and it's not about having money or no money. It's about integrity, right? For me, If it doesn't work, then you know what? I'd rather have no work than me being stressed out. My trades are the most important. I chase my trades to pay them. Because, and some of them are shocked. Like, you know, with paying like right away. If it doesn't need inspection and I know you.
You did the work.
Take your money and go.
Yeah.
Right? Like that's
you what earned it.
For. Yeah, you earned it. It's your money. It's not mine.
Yeah.
I'm just managing it.
But on the flip side, if you did a shoddy job and now you've given me headaches, and whether you come back and take care of it or I have to hire somebody else, then we have to have a conversation.
Correct. Me personally, I don't believe in back charge.
I never have. Yeah. When I first heard it, I was like, I don't understand this. But then I heard a lot of conversations, yeah. stories.
If it's needed, it's needed. But I like to give the opportunity, because in my times of learning and growing in this industry, I've never been back charged, but when you hear the person that wants to back charge you or wants to hold money for workers' comp, a lot of it is shadiness back in the days. Like they just want to make an extra 10 points off you, right? But I think in general, the back charge, it creates a lot of dissension. So I think if you approach it, you know, I try to approach it, okay, you know, fix that, right? And I give them the opportunity to make a choice, right? Again, with us, because I'm very personal with my trades, we move pretty good that they all honor their work anyway. And it's very rarely that we have to do anything because we're always in it together. And that's the atmosphere I try to keep. Like you said, I love joking around. If I can't joke around at work, then I might as well not get up in my truck.
I mean, the joking around shifts gears when there are children on site, if the clients want to bring kids on site and things like that. I get it, but tradespeople know how to shift gears, right? There's a certain select group of jokes that come around when it's just the boys and girls on site, right? Regarding the back charging thing, I don't understand why certain trades will not just take care of it. Because the upsell on taking care of it is far greater than just saying the hell with it and my ego is going to respond to you and I'm not going to take care of it. I'm walking away. Because guess what? Now you've lost our opportunity to work with this person again for several future projects. But if you just take care of it, you just step up and you set aside the ego and you shake hands and you just go, listen, I'll be back tomorrow and I'll take care of it. You are going to get more work. You are going to get phone calls. You're going to get other, you know, prospects in the future, especially when you might be slow. But if you just shut that door because your ego is telling you to shut that door, you're making a huge mistake, in my opinion.
Yeah. And I think we all, I mean, I can only speak for myself, especially as a younger man and younger person with a business. Ego can always be a part of my downfall.
Of course.
Like, I mean, it's very, and again, like I said, my faith keeps me in line there. But I think if I remain accountable to, I mean, I got friends in my life that are in business, so we're always talking about business or just regular man to man conversations, right? We've never been taught how to be men. I mean, for me, it was just go to work, pay your bills, get married at this, you know, have kids, and move on, right?
So but the majority of these kids are not being taught anything.
Yeah, they're yeah.
Their devices are their teacher, yeah. And that's not. Yeah. There's talk about AI. Like, I know that a lot of people are talking about there's a lot of AI crap out there and stuff like that. I think there's a lot of AI verbal crap out there. Like, they're hearing or seeing certain words that speak to them, but they don't really understand the how it resonates to them. What's the cause and effect of it? Versus if you're in a situation with an older mentor and they kind of smack you upside your head and they explain to you why this is important. You may think it's trivial right now, but understand how important this is, and you'll learn this lesson 10, 20 years down the line, the reason why this happened. Mm-hmm. They don't get that right now.
Yeah, yeah. Well, again, like I said, you know, the maturity of the way things are going, and I think it's a lot of it is because there's a lot of noise out there, right? There's a lot of distraction for this younger generation.
There's a lot compounding.
Yeah, I would not want to be there in this generation, honestly. We had peer pressure growing up, right? But this type of peer pressure, honestly,
it's too much.
I find that we've put too much on this young. I don't even want to call them kids. I mean,
they're in their 20s.
They're in their 20s.
I know.
I was talking to my mom actually the other day, and I told her I can't remember what it was. It was a situation, and I said, they're kids, right? They're growing up. They're just kids. She goes, what do you mean they're kids? She goes, at 19, I was married, and I was raising you, and I still went to work, and okay, mom, we're in a different time. But you know what? There is some good value insight from that statement, right? Because sometimes I think, like you said, we coddle them. You know, we want to do this, we want to do that, right?
I think it's a little scarier for men these days than it is women. And listen, you women can all attack me all you want. I don't care, right? I'm sharing opinions on a show. That's all I'm doing. And when I say this scary, I think, first of all, I respect your mom, and it was a different time. She may have met one or two men that became your dad, right? And that's the thing about it. Today, a man meets a potential wife probably every hour. They're meeting different women, or women are meeting different men on an hourly basis these days, right? Which is a little confusing to them. And then the problem is that, you know, when things don't go well and you start involving divorce and separation and children and separation of assets, the legal system is heavily skewed towards the female. Whether all these women are girl bosses and they're providing for themselves and they have their financial means, they still get the favoritism towards them. And then the man has to basically liquidate everything. So then you've got these young men in their 20s faced with this, you know, and they don't know how to react to that. We get older and we know exactly how to react to that. We just don't get involved in it. We just step away from it, and you're the bull at the top of the hill, already seeing what happens if I run down this hill, right? They are already, even before you turn your head, already running down the hill. Yeah. And we know that it's not a good idea to run down this hill. So we walk down and we carefully take our steps, right? So it is becoming challenging. That's where I feel for the younger men, how they want to make, I deep down think, honestly, they want to have a successful marriage. They want to have a huge family. I think they honestly, I'm five. I'm number four of five kids. I honestly believe a lot of these younger men want big families because they love what's associated with that. Their children and what the prospects are in their eyes. But now we go financially speaking. Like back in the 80s, you could make $1,500 and you could buy a house and you could have enough to buy a car. Today it's not. It's ridiculous now. Right? The houses are too expensive. I don't care. I'd rather have the 20% interest rate from the 80s and a $100,000 house versus a $1 million house with the 2%, 3% of the interest rate now. We know, you do the math. We already know what's better. Yeah. So it's like, it becomes very, very challenging for these men to say yes, right? And then, like you said, social media is a little evil because man and woman can meet somebody new. And I think that if you strike up a conversation with people on social media and that conversation starts to become intimate, you're hurting both parties involved in a relationship, in my opinion. Yeah. Right? I've been hit on social media several times. And whenever I was in a relationship, I dismissed it right away. Like I just left it alone. I didn't contribute to it. Right. And I'm just like, because I think that's just an extension of you meeting somebody in person. Yeah. Right. And
you know, it's amazing that we're actually talking about this. And when you think about it, you know, two men sitting on a podcast, just being real. You know, at the end of the day, I'm still single 10 years.
Yeah. And divorced.
I've been divorced for a while, like probably 30 years now.
Can I ask, did it okay? Was it okay or was it?
No, like, the one thing that I've learned in life, as long as I take responsibility for me, 100% my part, the rest is not my responsibility.
Yeah. You can't control the other person.
Correct. I mean, have I grown? Have I learned? You know, because to me, divorce has got to be one of the hardest any human being can go through, female or male. It doesn't matter because there's no, that you can't be divided or chauvinistic about it. What it is what it is, right? I made mistakes in my life. I was young getting married. I got married at 21, you know, and these are important things to share because I'm okay with it. I've healed up. I'm open about it. And to younger generation. Yeah, I do agree. Like, I really believe that a man wants to have a family, no different than a woman. There's roles.
They do too, for sure.
There's two different roles, right? Yeah. That's the way I believe we've been created. When we get into these fundamentals, you know, and I made mistakes as a younger man. I was a boy trying to be an adult. You know, I got married at 21. Anyway, so life teaches you.
But you still got married. You still were a husband to a wife.
I got two kids.
You provided for two children. You know, you got two children that are growing up.
Correct.
And so there's still a lot of good associated with that, but I can only assume, and I don't know, and it's how much you want to, you know, dive into it, Joe, is that your ex-wife was probably the one that wanted the divorce? Or was it you more?
I mean, you know what? I would have divorced me too. Like, I mean, that's being honest.
You were a different man then.
I was seven days a week working. My mind was business. And that's why what I bring to the table today, like when you see, like, I see people. I used to have this carpenter when we were... I was in the subdivision, again, framing piecework, and his name was Reno. He's dead now. God bless this guy. Mm. He was such a nice man. He'd sit there. He'd come and put the windows in my houses that we built, and I'd be calculating because I'd get another blueprint for the next house, and I'm already calculating my money. And he's sitting there looking at me, shaking his head, and I'd say to him, "What are you laughing at, Reno?" And he goes, "Listen to me, son," all right? Because he was old enough to be my dad. And he said, "You don't have to count money. You just go to work, you do what you're supposed to do, and money will come. It'll start working and building." That man there, those words are still in my mind and in my heart, because today I'm not focused on the dollar. Before I used to outcast anybody that got in my way. To make that dollar. So I just looked at you as a transaction, as an exchange, as a dollar sign. And I think that's what's going on today. Like you said, with relationships, it's an exchange. It's not a commitment. It's an exchange. What am I going to get or what am I not going to get? Yep. What am I going to give you and what am I going to get?
Yeah.
So when I jump into that, and even in business, if I jump into it because I want to make money, I'm looking at that client in a different way. My mind is not open. Now, does that happen once in a while in a thought? Absolutely.
Because it's part of the conversation.
Because I'm still human, right?
Yeah.
But then there's certain things that I've had to work on and keep working on that I make sure. And sometimes I do that. I got to pull back because sometimes I can be hard too. And I think it's about being honest.
Stop being chained to your construction company. That's what Revelate delivers to contractors like you who are trying to figure out AI and automations. I hear it all the time with guys I talk to, and it sounds like they spend way more time on things that waste money. Here's how Revelate does it. They study your business. They build custom AI software and automation tech to fit your process. They train you and your staff so you can save 50% of your time on the stuff that slows you and your projects down. You got into the trades to build things, not to be buried under endless admin work and broken systems. I know every day feels like you're solving the same problems instead of moving forward. That's why Revelate was created. They grew up in the construction industry and have been a part of it for more than 15 years. They know the grind and they work to fix it. Within weeks, you and your team and your business are saving half of your time on the stuff that keeps you from getting home and enjoying life. No more nights buried in the paperwork, just more time building and living. Stop being stuck in chaos. Let Revelate help you build something better. Book a demo. It's an easy chat and it's free. Book time now. www.revelate.com or on IG at revelate.inc or call them at 416-474-5755. This message is proudly supported by The Construction Life.
But then I think this younger generation, my dad and my mom used to say a similar thing. They used to always say, don't count the money until the money arrives, right? But you're just, I think this generation is constantly counting what their future earnings are going to be all about. And instead of, they should be counting all the prospects, all their future prospects. If I line up with this individual, if I secure work with this individual, I'm going to be busy for the month of April, the month of May. You know what I mean? Where can I fit a Saturday? But then again, you got to balance that. Like you said, I was working 7 days. And the unfortunate thing is that you got a lot of guys and girls in construction, they're working 5 days and it's not enough. They have to work the sixth day, which is going to take toll on a relationship. You work the seventh day, it's going to take toll on heavily on the relationship. And if you got young kids, young family, that's going to take a toll on it too. And if, you know, in my mind, it always makes more sense to have one person at home taking care of the child instead of dropping the kid off at a daycare situation. It's going to cost you more and someone else is raising your child, right? I've had conversations with friends of mine that are family people, and we did the numbers, we did the math, we calculated everything, and we're like, yeah, it actually makes a lot more sense for one family member to stay home with the child and raise the child versus both go to work and then have someone else raise the child. Correct. But that's going to take a toll on that too, right? And then I was just having a conversation recently where I discovered, I didn't know this, but daycares nowadays have cameras in a lot of the classrooms, and then the parents can actually look into the camera. And then they can call the school saying, my child is crying right now. Why don't you address that? And I'm like, I don't understand this. Like, why don't you parent? If you're at home and you have the time to look at a surveillance camera, why don't you just raise your own child instead of dropping them off at some sort of facility for them to raise you? But I can't speak up because I'm not a parent, right? I've been told by parents, right? So I'm not allowed to say anything because I've raised two dogs and I've taken care of two dogs right to their very last day, right? But that doesn't factor in the same thing as having a child, right? Mm-hmm. So it's just, people are still allowed to share their opinion, but we start looking at things we run down the hill and you can see what happens if you're running down the hill, that there's something going to happen. Old age has something to do with that. I didn't have it when I was growing up. Like in the construction site, I didn't have any older guys to talk to. I had to seek them out, you know, and then I bumped into older guys and I started picking their brains and shooting the shit. And then they started realizing, okay, this kid's differently, you know, and I was in my early 30s at that time because it was a career change, right? And so then they started saying, this kid's slightly different. He's always asking questions that will propel him in a different direction, but still stay on track in construction. Mm-hmm. That's what these kids need to see. They need to understand that you need to find older people that have been through it before. Yeah. But there are going to be some grumpy ones and they're going to treat you like shit. You have to balance how much shit you want to be treated with. Correct. Before you dismiss this person, because this person might actually guide you in an amazing direction. Yeah. Right. So don't dismiss them because your ego, you know what I mean? If they just, I got shot down by plenty of old school guys. Right. And then all of a sudden through some sort of universe thing, they were speaking to somebody else and then my name came up and then they showed a project that I recently finished and they're like, that guy did that project? And then they kind of revert right back to me and they're going, listen, okay, what would you want to ask me? Like, what happened? Yeah. Well, then there was a little bit of a respect thing there because they said, you did this? And I was like, yeah, I did this. Because that's really good work. And I'm like, thank you.
It's good. That's a very, very good point because it brought me right back. When I first started, because I was a soccer player also.
Yeah.
So I was playing for in the Italian league, actually in the TND with Shushato.
Pull the mic. You don't have to pull the mic toward you. Yeah.
So I was playing soccer anyway. So back then it was very common if you played for a soccer team, they got you work if you needed work. So that's how they put me over to this contractor that was in the subdivision framing a contractor for the builders. And he hired me by hour, and I lasted, I'm telling you, not even 2 hours. He put me up on a roof. I was terrified. I'm walking through the trusses, and I go, what the hell? And I went down. I said, I can't do this. And he goes, get the hell out of here. And I left. He fired me. Anyway, make a long story short, about 2-3 years later, I was doing houses for Zancor, and the contractor was Peter from Ritmark Construction. I'll never forget this guy. And he was asking me to come and work for him, and I you know, my ego came in the way, right? But then I worked for him, and then I was on two sites for him, right? And Monarch Home. I can't remember the other name, but anyway, and that's how I, you know, sometimes, you know, you have to go through stuff in order to learn, right? I mean, it is what it is. We can look at it like as harsh and whatever, because he was harsh.
Yeah.
He just got rid of me like it was nothing, right? But then later, you know, it gave me another opportunity to learn and grow, right? He took me back on, and he was bugging me to go and do houses for him, right? So it's kind of funny. Sometimes, like I said, like we, you know, you get a little bit older, you know, and you learn to laugh.
You know? Listen, we're all trying to do the exact same thing.
Yeah, you reflect and you learn.
Yeah, that's, and especially when you get older. And the other thing is, like, there was always two roads in me learning construction when I got started, right? There was the path of opportunities where you met your core group of construction people that you were going to be working with more than once. You just met them. You knew that you clicked, you kind of jived really well. And then you met another group of people that were variables, right? But I found with the other group of people, the other line, they were burned quite a bit, and they had such hatred towards certain people. Like, I'll never work with this company. I'll never work with this supplier, this whatever. It was just constant hatred over and over. Yeah, yeah. And I looked at both perspectives, and I was like, the hatred route was never going to get you further in learning what you wanted to achieve in construction. But if you set aside the ego and you kind of look at the opportunity, that would get you a lot further down the line. Like, still to this day, I get phone calls from people, whether I've worked with them or I've actually spoken to them on the show or we've engaged on social media, and getting my opinion to either, I know you're busy, Manny, can you come on site? Can you stop by? And I love coming on site. I love stopping by and just shooting the shit, checking out what's the latest and greatest and seeing the workers and what they're doing. I love all that stuff, mm-hmm. right? So I, you know, I mean, that because of that one lane, that route, that you opportunity, I totally, you know, if more and more kids look at it that way, listen, there's going to be bad. Construction has bad. Every industry has bad.
Correct.
But if you focus on all that bad, then guess what? You're going to just attract all that bad to your own projects. You don't want that. You want people who would be on site, whether they're subs or employees or even suppliers or even clients, that are going to contribute to you guys achieving new projects, you know, new opportunities. That's all it is,
yeah,
man.
Yeah. And, you know, and sometimes, you know, not everybody's made to go on the journey that you're, it's my journey. It's your, true. Like, it's all individual, individual journeys. And you just, you know, it's like walking through the forest, and sometimes you don't really know where you're going, right? You just got to keep walking, and sometimes you bump into something that's benefit. It's always a learning process, I find. If I can keep my mind and focus on, there's an opportunity to learn and to grow, it's better. Because then if I don't get in that state, you look at it like you were saying, right? Like, everything is an obstacle, and this guy, I don't like this guy, I would never work. Some of the people that I used to say that, right?
Yeah.
Well, you get into, especially when you're young, right? Full of
piss and vinegar.
Piss and vinegar. And don't you know who I am? Yeah. So that attitude, right? Some of them, I'm getting calls from them today, even guys that worked for me, right? And that's the beauty of it.
And you genuinely want to help them.
Absolutely.
You want to give them an opportunity,
absolutely,
right?
Absolutely. With little or with much, I've learned to be content in all things. And then that's all relationship based as well, right?
It's hard times, right? I get it. And I agree with you how I would not want to be that young kid today in today's times, right? Yeah. But also, if you look at history, some of the worst times in history is when huge opportunities unfolded. You know, we were just talking, I was talking with somebody about, you know, the amount of success that came out of the Depression. I mean, we know about what happened during the Depression, a lot of losses and everything, but there was a lot of success. So right now there's a lot of success going on. It's just not being focused on. It's not being presented. Mm-hmm. It won't be for a few years. But if you're a smart contractor in today's climate, you should be looking at where are there some opportunities, right? I just learned a term, I don't know if you know about this, but blue ocean.
No,
Blue Ocean is a whole digital thing about looking at what's currently going on as a negative, but then discovering that there's a blue ocean opportunity in that negativity and just trying to figure out what it is. So it's like for these young kids that are paying attention to ChatGPT and trying to do search or trying to do some research or trying to figure out some stuff like that, I encourage you, go online, describe a little bit of what your business is all about, and then attach the two words blue ocean to it and just see what comes up. And it might be something that you haven't been thinking about. So that's why you get a lot of people figuring out other ways of doing their mousetrap. And it's applicable to construction. Mm. It's 100% applicable to construction.
Even this chat, how do you say it? Chat GPT? Whatever. Yeah. I just learned about that probably about a month ago. I was at a seminar at with Build, same thing, Canada Home Builders Association. And a younger contractor was mentioning it. And I'm going, like, what is this, right? Because we had a panel discussion with lawyers and stuff like that, right? So, yeah, like, I mean, you got to use what's out there.
They're tools.
They're tools.
They're right? All tools. They're no tools. Different than your Sawzall. They're no, it's a tool. Yeah. And I don't think a lot of people are, I think a lot of people are just waking up and looking at, okay, this is going to be hard. This is just going to be hard. It is and it isn't, right?
Well, I mean, especially like, I don't know, for me and myself, I can only speak for myself. I didn't grow up with all this stuff. So in the last 10 years, I've had to really, really, 10 years ago, I didn't even know how to use a computer at all. And, you know, I made all the contracts, you know, fine, they're approved by my lawyer and all that, but and I'm still, like, now you already got me going, blue ocean. As soon as I get out of here, what's this guy talking about?
I'm just
about?
Saying it's something to look into. Yeah, I just like discovered it.
Like, you see, that's just where my mind has been going the last 10 years.
There was a funny thing, and I'll share this with you, because I like having conversations with other business people, and especially other business people that are not in, so I'll give you this example. I was talking to two people who have nothing to do with construction, but they're constantly picking my brain regarding construction because, like I always say, doesn't matter who you meet, at some point, they're going to need to hire somebody to swing a hammer. They don't want to do it. They want the professionals out there. So these two individuals, and I respect them a lot, they're different sectors, different industry. They always pick my brain about construction, right? So then we were having a conversation. They started asking me about the difference between a millionaire and a billionaire, how today people they can't grasp how much of a void difference there is between that. So to give you an example, right? If you were to just convert the dollars per second, so $100,000 is equivalent to 1.16 days, right? 1 million is equivalent to 11.57 days, right? Now you get to 1 billion. What do you think that is? So 1 million is 11.57 days. How many days or years or whatever it is 1 billion? It's 31.7 years. That's the difference between a million and a billion. So it's like today, talking about being a millionaire, and you could easily become a millionaire in construction, but it doesn't really mean much when you start factoring in what potential is really out there. Mm-hmm. So you start looking, going after 10 million. That's how you get companies like Ellis Dunn and the PCLs and everybody out there that, you know, they're bringing in gross revenue of $1 billion a year in Canada, no problem. Like, these are big construction numbers. Yeah. We know, I'm sure through the grapevine, we know the story behind Madame Holmes and the divorce and his multi-million dollar, and she knocked it down. And it was, what was it, $30 million home or something like that? She just demoed her, like, whatever. And I'm just, okay, but Madame Holmes, he's a monster, like, financially speaking. And I just tell the younger generation, that started by swinging a hammer. So stop thinking that it's all just negative. There's a prospect here to build your brand to a certain level that will be a monster, speaking. Not a negative monster, a positive monster, right? Three-way the world. These little puppies. I'm speaking from experience. I've actually installed these and I love these. Three-way prefabricated inside drywall corner. The first one-piece solution for perfect, crisp corners every time. With three-way, you'll improve your quality, save on labor, and cut down on time. Traditional methods require three tapes, lots of sanding, and high skill. But with three-way corners, they install in just a fraction of the time with fewer steps. It is adjustable for any angle, reinforced to cover gaps, and designed to blend seamlessly into the corner. Say goodbye to pesky touch-ups and hello to flawless finishes. Try three-way today and revolutionize your drywall game. Perfect corners every time. To purchase or check out some how-to videos to see the installs in action, visit threeway.ca or connect with them at 306-514-3768 or drop them an email at threewaytheworld@gmail.com. Connect with me, TCL, and stop by the studio and get a free pack on us for anyone to try. And trust me, I'm telling you, you'll love it. This message is proudly supported by The Construction Life.
I remember, did you ever attend Jim's roundtable events in Niagara Falls?
No.
He used to do them every year and then they stopped doing them. I remember the first one that I ever attended, and it was an older gentleman that spoke up. He had his hand. Everyone's allowed to put their hand up and just ask questions. There's a panel of knowledgeable individuals there in the industry. And one older gentleman, I mean, I was probably in my early 30s at the time, and he was probably in his 60s. And he spoke up, stood up, and he said, listen, I've been doing this for X amount of years. My son didn't want to get into it. Once I'm gone, the business is dead and buried, right? And so I don't know how you guys are talking about how I can make my business bigger and better and all this other stuff, right? Excuse me. And I spoke to him briefly after the fact, and I said to him, I go, you could turn your business around. You could make your business to a monster where it can get to this point that someone else would want to actually acquire it and pay for it, right? And he didn't see it. And I'm like, here I am, young, trying to figure out new ways. And I was like, I didn't have the answers yet. And then we didn't have the tools then. Mm-hmm. But today, there's the tools and you are able to do it. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, Joe, if you're familiar with this, but there's a lot of outfits coming out of the US and Europe that are gobbling up small construction companies in Canada and the US, eh? And they're buying them out for a good, decent amount of money. So if you don't position your company properly, if you think it's just a one-man show, a one-van project or whatever it is, you're not going to get looked at. But if you build it to a certain point, you are going to get some sort of huge corporation that's going to give you a nice retirement check, and then they're going to take over the business. And now the unfortunate thing is this is a balancing act. They're doing it so they can control the small mom and pop market. That's why they're doing it. They see the viability behind that, right? And I'm like, but it's also a great opportunity for someone who's built a successful construction company to retire well. So it's like, build your business, build your brand. And I jokingly always said, every construction company has the potential to be like the next Apple, the next Nike, the next whatever. It's really about how you position your brand. If you do similar things that these big corporations do, you will grow your business. And I think now in these hard economic times, this is when you do it. Mm-hmm. You figure out how to do this.
Yeah. Well, and I totally agree. Because the mentality, like the scarcity mentality, is also an issue too, right? Like,
yeah.
I mean, especially from my like growing up, you know, it's so the opportunities are there today. Challenge me to become that. And again, I don't think age matters. Like whether I'm 60 or 80 or 20, it's the mindset.
The only difference, Joe, is that it takes you a little bit longer to get up from your knees.
Yeah. Don't trust me. It's taken a lot longer. I was doing a little bit of baseboard the other day.
You know, you have those meetings, you're like, let's go upstairs, and everyone's running upstairs, and you're like,
yeah, no, I need the railing.
So, but we get there.
Yeah. So, yeah, I do it 100% agree with you. Like, it's the mindset. Like, we, and.
But don't you do that in construction? When you got a problem, you're framing, plumbing, you're doing whatever. There's a problem. Don't you solve it? Or do you walk away from it?
No, you have to.
You have to solve it. So why are we not taking that same mindset to our business?
Yeah.
Solve it.
And again, I think it becomes an individual, like, you know, how far do you want to go? Like I said, I was telling you, I don't think I'll ever retire, because what's retirement mean? Right? Yeah, I can maybe unwind and, you know, like I'm traveling a little bit more now than I ever have, right? But I had to get out of that mindset, because my mindset tells me I don't have enough. My mindset tells me I need to save, I need to hoard, you know? I can't do this, I can't do that. But so the minute I don't do that, I'm opening myself to something bigger. But
here's the thing, Joe, is just, you're right, 100% right. I've spoken to a lot of the older trades. Like, I love speaking to the 60s plus, because they have that mindset. They're like, okay, well, if I don't go to the job site and I don't work, or I don't supervise, or I don't swing the hammer, what else am I going to do? Because I don't have enough financial means to survive. Because if I live till the medium right now for a man in Canada is, I think it's 82 or something like that, right? That's right now. And, you know, it could be even greater than that. So, you know, if you're in your early 60s, you still got 2 decades before technically something, barring nothing happens, you'll expire, right? And you'll pass on. So what am I going to do? I need to still survive. And I don't want to survive on, you know, nothing. I want to thrive. But here's the funny thing is that a lot of this, you can be better, you can do better, is being spoken to the younger generation. And here are all these tools like ChatGPT and all this other stuff. All that shit's applicable to you too.
Absolutely, absolutely.
It may take you a little bit longer to learn it, but you have a device that you can search and ask a question and speak to it and go, okay, I'm a 60 plus man. I've had this many years experience in construction. This is what I'm really good at. Where's there an opportunity for me to fit in? And if it comes up with something that sparks your mind, what's the difference there? And you could be that next so-called kid coming up with an idea. We joke, KFC started when? In his 60s. Yeah. You know what I mean? Ray Kroc, everyone knows the famous story about McDonald's. He was 50? I think he was 51. You know, when he started the idea of McDonald's. Well, he stole it from them. It's a different story that way. But he still saw the potential behind it. A lot of people still come up with ideas in their later years. So it's use the tools that you have right now. I think the difference between you, I think you actually have an advantage. Me and you have an advantage because we're not that bull running through a China door, a shop. The young guys want it right away. We know that this may take 2 years, 3 years, but then you know what? My mindset's more like I'll be on the job site for the next 2-3 years. Let me establish the business tenfold from now until then. Yeah. And then at that point, I'm going to be like, guys, hard hat's coming off. I'm going to go and do this. I love what I'm about to do. Take care. You guys have any questions? Call me up. I'll pass by. If I'm in the country or if I'm not in the country, we'll Skype. We'll Zoom. And I'm there like, and we can talk. And I'm like, then your knowledge is still extendable, right?
Absolutely.
But
absolutely.
I think that there's plenty of opportunities for these older folks that are out there. As I mentioned, I've said it on the show, and I even said it to you before we even got on the show, is the government should be funding these older guys. I don't care about the political correctness. I care about the knowledge to pass down to the kid because I want these kids to thrive and be that old person 40 years down the line doing the exact same thing for the next generation that isn't even a thought in their parents' eyes right now. Yeah. You know what I mean? That's what I want. I want that cycle to continue because every city in every single country has to build something. And then after they build something, they have to service that something. So we need these people.
Yeah, even like, I do a lot of research on this stuff as well. And like you said, I go to these seminars. They can bring in as many robots and like they're building houses and they've been building houses in factories for a long
time. Modular, that's been going on for a long time. Since the 70s or so.
Yeah, it's been going on for years. There used to be a company out of Orangeville that used to do it 2 years ago. But you can't get rid of humans. there's certain stuff that can't be done by a robot, right? So I think it is about pressing forward and being, you know, innovative and learning and creating a different space and a different environment, right?
Yeah.
And the older generation is very, very important to this newer generation. And so is the newer generation important to us?
They're equally.
You know, like it's as simple as I was still using a hammer and nailing up to, we have all the pneumatic tools we want, but up to 3-4 years ago, I was still using a hammer. I love it, but I know it's not beneficial. There's other ways, like this machine works. So just use it. But once in a while, I want to still put my pouch on. Yeah. And my pouch is still, and I got a brand new one sitting in there that I've never used. It's a leather one.
What's the older one? The older one is just fitted perfectly?
Perfect. It's ripped. It holds what it needs to hold.
Yeah.
And there's still enjoyment in that. But I know in my brain, these younger guys, like, they're all cordless now. Like, they don't bring cords anymore. Everything is pneumatic.
I'll share a sad story a few years back. There was a trade that I knew, older gent. He was getting out of the biz, and he put a picture up, and he wanted to give up all of his corded tools. He was just like, listen, they're all in great working condition. I'm no longer going to be doing this anymore. Sends it out there. He didn't get a single bite. Nobody wanted it. And I'm like, just because they recorded. And I'm like, wow, these are good tools. They're not dangerous. They will last. They will take care of you. But just because you want to plug it in, you're dismissing it. Well, then fine. Go to the store and spend thousands of dollars on all this cordless stuff. Me as a young trade, I'd be like, I'm going to take this. I'm going to try it out. I'm going to learn. I'm going to craft something, get my skills, hone it, and then reach out to somebody and get a job. And maybe they provide me cordless tools, right?
Yeah. Again, like, I mean, I still have three skill saws and they're still around and they're not cordless. I love it. But again, like the insight that these younger guys have brings it to the table too, right? It's not like, because I can be intimidated or I can be part of it, the solution.
So it's the best way to look at it.
Yeah, let's just do it, right? I'll still bring my, like, DeWalt saws. Actually, I was looking at the questions you gave me, and I'm going, what tool don't I like? And it's DeWalt. I can't stand it. I've been on sites, like, even if I'm going, like, to a site just to visit a friend, and they you know.
What is it with, like, was there a specific DeWalt tool, a specific situation happened?
Brutal. It's got to be the lousiest saw, even cutting it, because I can cut angles, especially when I was cutting roof. I can, with my skill saw, I can just turn any angle I want. Even by eye, I can still get it close to 45 degrees.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
That's just how we learned, right?
So what are you using then if it's not DeWalt?
Skill. I still have three of them.
But I'm sure that you didn't upgrade to the cordless skills, right?
No. I've gone to the mag. I think it's mag 77 or whatever with the aluminum plate. But
yeah,
they bend. Nah. I still have a skill saw from, like, I don't know, probably about 15, 20.
Silver one, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love it.
When did they turn to red? I don't know. It was
probably in the mid-90s.
Yeah, yeah, late, yeah.
Around
yeah.
2000.
Yeah.
I just love it. That thing there is amazing. We used to use that for trim. Like, because back then, the carpenters, we used to do exterior trim. That was part of the package. So you're doing footings, exterior trim, framing, and installing windows. That was just how you did things.
And it was the same saw used on everything?
So we used to use, like, because we used to use the Crezon board and then put the 1x4 for the bay windows and stuff.
Yep.
And that's what I used to use, right? Because how many guys could afford, like, a table saw, a chop saw? And back then, everything was just go, go, go.
Right? See, and that's the logic of today's trade person, where they need all these specialty tools to get the craft done. And I'm like, no, you don't.
No, we still...
You need the craft first. And then the tool.
Yeah, because the trim, the 1x4, you see the houses now, you drive to some of the subdivisions, like I've built a lot of subdivisions, and I walk and I drive by them and I go, wow, that bay window's still hanging in. I can see the defects of it. You know, now we have PVC, like there's a lot of new materials that definitely we use, right? We've adapted, but back then, like, I'm going way back.
That's a, and I know, and there makes you wonder about the stuff that's being built today in subdivision, if it's going to look the same 40 years from now.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think it will be. I think they'll start to fall apart.
My house is, I think, almost 90 years old. And I'm telling you, I'm perfectly fine with it. You know, we got a little, I brought Antonio in to take, we're going to, you know, do some stuff later. But otherwise, the thing's solid. It's
speaking of the government, that another part of the government that needs to get out of construction is telling us how to build our building envelope. They're just spouting BS on what to do and how to do it. They're not understanding how this actually works. And I think a lot of these homes are going to fail down the line. I don't think we are being asked to build generational homes. You've worked on them. I've worked on them. We've worked on historical homes. We worked on much older homes. They were around. Like, you'll see the hand-cut rafters. You'll see all the it's different to it is today. But now they're asking us to put X amount of, you know, insulation on the outside and put this membrane and that membrane and all. And they start. And then I'm like, this isn't tried and tested. And if it's not installed correctly in a procedural way, it's going to fail. And then you start seeing failures. And I'm like, these are new homes that should not be having these failures. And, you know, the implementation of trying to avoid gas coming into homes, like BC is not even running gas to new construction now. I'm like, I bought a house for a rental property that was fully electric. And every time, like, it was a pain in the ass in the winter months, man. Like, the bills were, I had to eventually slowly convert it back to gas, right?
So you heard about that, because I just learned that at I was with the build seminar. It's called LEAP. And that's what they were talking about. In Vancouver,
they want it here.
They want it here.
I know.
But they're also calculating. That's how precise they're getting. They're calculating at different temperatures of a house if it runs out of power, because now they want to implement backup generator in all houses.
How is that possible if they're getting rid of gas?
But you see what that's the mentality, right? So they begin, and so they're calculating. So how, if a house has no power, how long will it last with the R value, with the energy efficiency that they're trying to implement?
Why are we calculating that to begin with?
It's crazy. I'm telling you, it's to a T, like at minus 10.
And I know, but we should be building homes that could be running off of next to nothing. We've all seen our gas bills. The only reason they're up is because of the political landscape.
Correct.
Right? Gas is an extremely more efficient idea than...
Correct.
The latest one that I'm seeing now, and I'm keeping a close eye to it, is heat pump failures. I knew when the heat pump was introduced and they were trying to push and mandate the heat pumps. Now they've gotten rid of all the rebates now. All I'm doing is I'm watching heat pump failures. And I'm like, those units are not designed to survive as long as a regular AC unit. And they're not designed for extreme cold temps. We've had, this winter was the first Canadian winter, real Canadian winter, probably in what, 4 or 5 years or so? It was cold. We had some cold. And I guarantee you all those heat pumps, they weren't, you needed your supplement furnace, right?
Yeah.
Attention subcontractors and skilled trades. Are you looking for your next big opportunity? 2x2 Construction is expanding and is on the hunt to grow our top-tier network of professionals. Whether you're a carpenter, plumber, or roofer, etc., if you can deliver top-quality craftsmanship, offer competitive pricing, and your communication is where we shine, we want to hear from you. At 2x2 Construction, we value strong partnerships. From multiplexes to garden suites, we're all about building better together, and we want you to be a part of it. Reach out today at info@2x2construction.ca or connect with us on Instagram at 2x2construction. Join the 2x2 Construction team, where great work meets great people. This message is proudly supported by The Construction Life. They need to get out. They need to get out of construction.
Yeah, it's weird. It's weird. Like, I mean, I love learning all this stuff and it being exposed to it. But some of the stuff, like, I mean, I don't agree with it. Like, I mean, a lot of it, I think, is like you said, it's a lot of bureaucratic. I remember when Tyvek came out. This was years ago. It was in 1990.
Yeah, before then it was just the OSB, right? Or whatever it was for Sheathen.
The Tyvek came out and a lot, and people in the industries are the ones that patented it. And they started it.
It's a big back, Joe, and then another big arm.
Correct.
Scratching each other.
Correct.
That's
correct.
What it is. And my biggest spotlight is Kathleen Wynne with the heat recovery stack. It's 100% garbage. I don't believe in it. I don't trust it. I don't care for it. But when she has a financial vested interest in it, then they implement it into law.
Yeah.
And that they don't belong in homes.
And that's what's happening. That's exactly what's happening. And again, I where do we stop it? How do we stop it? I don't know if about stopping it. I think about making a positive influence to direct in a different way. Being more accountable, more responsible. I don't know. I really wouldn't even know. But even like with heat pumps, I mean, we started using them in the last, again, 5 years. Because before, to be honest with you, you hear of them, but I never had no knowledge. And I'm still learning about it, right? But then there is a lot of factors that you have to have, right? So
especially... Well, they're eventually going to push, like they're going to... What I've heard from HVAC people is saying that you will not have an option to buy anything but a heat pump. And I'm like, yes and no, and I'll come up to that, you know, challenge when it gets there. But right now I've got an AC unit that's perfectly fine. It's serviceable. I maintain it. I have a legitimate service person come out and look at it annually. So that's the other thing, is that people, homeowners, and government need to understand that if you maintain homes, you know what I mean? If you maintain homes, they can last a long time. I'm sure that you travel. What I love is when I go into older structures, it's always a thicker stone wall and a huge fireplace, if not fireplaces. And that's what kept the structure warm.
So the other mandate that this government is doing is no more wood burning fireplaces. And I'm like, wood burning fireplaces are, they don't work when you're not using them. But when you do use them, they're an extremely efficient way to heat your home. And if your home wall assembly is built correctly, you will retain all that heat in there.
For
the people that don't like the smell of smoke, I can't do anything for you people. Get on a ship and go to Mars. I don't care about that, right? But like, I love the smell of smoke. I love going to someone's house, but I can't tell you the last time I smelled that. But I love fireplaces, and I will fight to keep it.
And every house we used to build back then
had a fireplace.
Everyone.
You know, we knew the standard. You know, it wasn't the most attractive looking thing because they would just use the same brick as on the outside or maybe an offset brick. And it was just designed very basic. But the function behind it, and then it became more of an insurance liability. And I'm like, well, then don't let stupid people make fires. And that's the lesson that should be taught maybe in grade school, how you actually start a fire.
Education, right?
Like, yeah, I know how to start a fire. Like, it's just, I know how to maintain a fire. I know how to take care of it.
Yeah, we've come a lot. I mean, again, I'm like you. I'm watching all this. I'm thinking, how much further are they going to take this? Because it's like the new cars right now. We got Tesla and we got all this other stuff. For me, that doesn't entertain me. I can see how people get all attracted to it, but the last thing I want to do is be sitting at a station getting pumped up with energy to drive my car that's going to maybe take me a couple hundred
kilometers. But where's that power coming from?
Exactly.
It's still being...
It's still gas. It's still fossil fuel. Yeah.
So it's just like, in my opinion, listen, if you want to do EV, I choose not to. I don't think the numbers behind it make a lot of sense. I've spoken to people about, I think that electromagnetic field, EMF, is a thing. I know that sitting in the center of a battery vehicle contributes to your energy and you consume that electrical field. So that to me is my, that's an issue for me. Whether it's saving the planet or not, that's an argument. Like, I'm sorry, but it's not. If you factor in the little kid in Africa who's digging the lithium coming out of there, you know, for pennies on the day, like why don't we talk about that? Yeah. I get the oil industry is no more better. Like, you get into Saudi, that's a whole political thing, but I don't even call it fossil fuels anymore. That's a marketing exploit from the Rockefellers, right? Way back in the day. They try to make it sound scarce, right? There's lots of crude oil in this planet. Lots of it, right?
Yeah.
So it's just controlling, monopolizing, it's all this other crap. But if you give experienced tradespeople the opportunity to build their own home, they will build it properly. And it will last a very, very long time. It may not be exactly how the code is asking you to build it, but I challenge the code all the time. I've had conversations with the inspectors about certain things.
Me too.
And they looked at me and they're like, listen, off the record, Manny, I agree with you, but the code right now is like this. And I'm like, fine, but you realize that when you leave and I close this up, it's not there anymore. And he goes, I didn't hear that, Manny. I was like, I know you didn't hear that.
Yeah.
I didn't say it.
Most inspectors,
they get it.
They're
part of us.
Through my experience, they totally get it. So then you get the odd one, like, you know, they want to climb up in the roof and count your nail pattern and blah blah blah. But well, I've had it.
Really? Count? Yeah.
They count
in English.
Well, that this is way back. They're new. They come in. You know, they're young and full of piss and vinegar.
Yeah.
Why are you up there? Like, come on. You know how much nails we pump into these, especially with a gun? You get a young kid that's, you know, uncontrollable, just wants to go, go, go. But yeah, I've had the same thing. Me personally, Burlington and Oakville are one of the best areas. I love working. I just love it.
Mississauga, I've had a couple of resistance.
No, I don't know. It's because in that area where I was working, they've gotten to know me. I don't even know. I just find them very, very...
I always had good luck in Toronto.
Toronto's good too.
I've had conversational inspectors. I love shooting the shit with inspectors. Yeah. I love them coming by because I think I'm an open book. They realize that I'm not hiding anything. Exactly, I'm like, dude, everything's open, man. Yeah. What do you want me to move anything? Like, I try to keep it all exposed, so then I'm not hiding anything.
Yeah. Well, you're allowed that. You're allowed an introductory site visit, so I take advantage of it. Like, I want to know you. I want you to know me. I'm not here to hide, and I converse with you. I mean, hey, are you okay with doing this? Right? This is what we used to do. This is
don't be afraid of them.
Yeah, they're just like us, right?
Yeah.
So I totally agree with you, man. Like, inspectors get it. They do. And again, I think it's just bureaucratic. The red tape for us is getting, it's getting too much.
I want to know the list of people that are mandating the new code rules. And I want to know their construction experience. I don't care about their political experience. I don't care about their office admin experience. I want their construction experience. Because we know what it takes to build something on site through whatever weather conditions. Yeah. And we know what won't or won't work. We know it, right? And also, I love today's technology. You can chat with somebody halfway around the world and talk to them about it. I love getting comments from certain countries, Nordic, telling us that we're backwards, right? I love jabbing the Americans because they think they're the epicenter of amazing construction. And I'm like, you guys are not. You have to look at amazing construction in certain countries that have all four extremes, all four seasons. You can't just be the extreme hots or the extreme colds. It has to have all four. So you got to build wall assemblies that are attached to that, right? Mm-hmm. And if you don't do that, then it's not the best. And so that's why I'm looking at the Nordic ones because they get the all four, right? Mm-hmm. But there's a lot of great new tech out there that should be implemented, but unfortunately, nobody's scratching backs to get that here. We want that here, right?
And again, I think it's just, again, I think me personally, it's just more political, blah, blah, blah. Whose hand is in whose pocket, and you know, who suffers, we suffer.
Of course.
The industry and clients that got to pay for all this stuff, right? Because some stuff, even with certain window stuff, I've never seen it done, ever. Ever. And now they're implementing this stuff, and I'm thinking, and you guys don't even know if anybody's using it. You're not there. You're just trying to show a product, but I can guarantee you it's not being done like that.
But then that's the biggest thing. When I have spoken to sustainability people, if they don't install it properly, it fails. You can have the best products all you want, but if it's not installed properly, it fails, right? Mm-hmm. I remember, like, I will die never having a power vented hot water tank. I'm not a big Insta. I'm not, because nobody has perfected cold spurts. I think if you want on-demand hot water, you should still have a reservoir tank with it too. So you can avoid that, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But the thing is, I'm a gravity guy. I want gas. And the reason I don't want power-assisted venting on a hot water tank, they fail. The mortars fail. And now you don't have hot water in your house because that failed. I've got a gas tank. It doesn't fail.
So you're more with a B vent style.
Again, homeowners look at it like, well, then I got to run a pipe through my house somehow. It has to be a heat.
It's been there for years.
It's been there for years. And you've got one stack coming out of the roof. And I'm like, yeah, then just paint it black and it'll just disappear in the nightlight, right?
Half of them don't even know it's in their house anyway.
I know.
We used
to bury it. But the thing is, I know that I never have to get a phone call or call a service person. My power vented hot water tank mortar went. How long before I can get a new one now? What's the cost of it?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
I never have to have that conversation. We know where to do certain things. Like, I'm a big believer on radiant floor heating. Like, I believe in radiant heating as a better and healthier radiant system. It's more expensive than forced air. And I still believe that you should have a second smaller furnace for your AC needs, because I'm not a big ductless system because of all the components that are, like, I know what it is, but I don't like the government telling me what I'm allowed or not allowed. I think if I were to build a house from scratch, fireplace for sure, gas for sure, gravity B vent, you know, stuff like that. I would do radiant floors. And then I'd have a small unit for the AC to take care of that when you do need it. I would have skylights in the roofs because all that hot air can get expelled out of the house. Mm-hmm. Like, what was it, 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, we had a little bit of a warm spell. All my skylights cracked open. I wanted the house to breathe and open it up a little bit. Most homeowners don't even do that. They go from season to season.
I try
to explain to my clients, I go, don't do that. Don't just go from season to season. Open up and air the house. Get some flow.
You need it.
You need that, right?
Yeah. And a lot of that also with the R2000 system, when it started in 1990, because I did six of them. We were working for Mid Park Homes and they tried to implement it. Well, they tried back then. The house was too tight. There was no, like, it was energy efficient in whatever aspect they were trying to measure at that time. But with a high efficiency furnace, it still didn't do anything for airflow inside the house. So is that a good thing?
It's not.
It didn't last long, to be honest. It did. Then they implemented the, you know, with the Tyvek, then they started you know, making it more, just do it around the rim joists. And I mean, Tyvek is really just an air barrier, right? At the end of the day.
But Tyvek doesn't work if you don't tape all the joints.
Correct.
And technically speaking, you're supposed to tape all the staples too.
Yeah.
Technically speaking.
Yeah. So there's a lot of stuff that, I don't know. I don't know. Like how far do you take it? But I'm also the firm believer too, the house needs to breathe. If it can't breathe, then something's
not. I know that's where the HRV comes in, and I'm not a big fan on it.
There's products that are coming up that are, yes, I can see why it's needed, and I do agree with it. But then every component of a house, it's a big envelope. There's a lot of stuff that we can do or stick to the basics of what we used to do, right? Because it takes more money.
But we're spoiled, Joe. Like, the thing is, okay, back in the 80s, you would have been part of homes that one shower head, one valve, maybe a 500 CFM hood over your stove. Mm-hmm. These days, clients want 18 gallons of water pumping through that shower. They want 15,000 heads in there. They want 2,000 CFM hood to just suck everything right out. And then they don't realize you start having conversations with them about heat loss calculations, because if you start running that hood, you won't be able to open up your front door. And then you kind of explain to them, let me tell you about the invention of the roundabout door in buildings and how the tightness in that structure and the air, how it won't, you couldn't use doors anymore. You had to let that air go out. And then they're like, just still during the headlight look. And I'm like, well, if you want that 48 inch Wolf stove and you want to suck all those fishy smells or whatever, this is what you're going to need. But by getting that, you're going to need this. And then it's just like, it starts to get too much sometimes, right? You got to have a balance.
And then they wonder why the costs are going up in your renovation. Like, I mean, hey, if you want that, you got to pay for it. It's that simple. You want all the bells and whistles, you got to pay for it.
But then you go, like, I'm not, doorbells are now on technology. Your thermostat is now on technology. EcoBees and Nest and everything like that.
And all that,
Everything's all technology based. And then, okay, so here's my question to you. Power goes out, Wi-Fi goes out. Now what? Hey, homeowners and businesses, are you looking for top-notch tile and stone services you can trust and count on? Consider the expert tradesperson behind the Tile Guy GTA, Omid himself. He takes pride in delivering quality service and professional installation on time and on budget. From mosaics to large slabs to custom niches and miters, the Tile Guy GTA has you covered. With years of experience and a commitment to excellence, Omid and the team at the Tile Guy GTA are your go-to professionals for all your tile and stone needs. From full waterproofing solutions of every possible product to the finish, grouting details, even a hint of design recommendations when the client needs to hear the truth. Call the Tile Guy GTA today, 647-716-5062, or email them at thetileguy.gta@gmail.com. This message is proudly supported by The Construction Life. But you're not allowed in today's construction to put a generator, but you're saying that they might be putting generators now. Well,
from what they're talking, because I think in Vancouver, they're already implementing it.
But they got rid of gas lines. So how do you, unless they're propane?
Like I said, it was one seminar that I went to, and they're already talking about it, and it was one of these energy guys.
They were getting rid of even, and I had a major problem with this, is gas barbecue. I'm like, how many gas line barbecues have you set up? Like, I mean, you do natural connections so people don't have to refill the propane tank over and over. I think the propane tank, you know, in rural areas makes a lot of sense, but in urban areas, no, man, just run a gas line. It's, you know, $350, you run a Warflex line, you have a shut off there, it's perfectly safe. Endless amounts of gas, you never have to worry about the burgers ever, you know, not being cooked. But if you start getting rid of all that stuff and forcing people to use, you know, induction or some sort of, I don't know, electric, it's not the same thing.
Yeah, to me, it's part of this new world order.
It's controlling.
It's controlling.
It's controlling.
You can use this, you can't use that. And I think it's just a foreshadow of what's coming. So maybe these legislations and all these government red tape is leading us to that. I don't know. I try not to get my head too much in that hole because I'm totally on that, like, you know.
It's a shame that you can't have a plot of land and then build whatever you want to build on it. It's your plot of land.
There's no way.
They won't allow it. No. They won't allow it. And even if you try to go, like, even I don't like the monopolization regarding hydro. Like you cannot get fully off the grid. Even if you were to make a house completely sustainable off the grid, not requiring any hydro whatsoever, they will not allow you to do that. You have to be hooked up to a meter somehow. And I'm like, that makes no sense. If I figured out how to build a house without me needing hydro, why can't I be allowed to do that?
Yeah.
I'm sure you can challenge it, but it's probably going to take your lifetime to challenge
it. Well, again, like you said before, it's about where your hand is going to be too, right? And if you're talking to the right person and you're okay in that area.
I think you just do it. If you get caught, you keep doing it.
Yeah. Again, there's consequences, good or bad, of whatever choices we make, right? I mean, sometimes, I don't know, the way we're going, if I think it's totally different than what I grew up in. Right. And I just try to remain optimistic that we're going to be okay in whatever comes. Right?
I hope so. I don't have a lot of faith in a lot of the homes that are being built a certain way today will be century homes 100 years from now. I don't see it.
No.
I've worked on a number of them and I've seen it and I've driven by. I'm old school. I love brick. I respect a lot of the new cladding options out there. I love, you know, ACM, and there was a period of time not too long ago that was all, you know, porcelain slabs and mechanically fastened like that. That's a particular style. I get it, but I'm more of a traditionalist and I like that brick. I would love to see more ornate brickwork, arches and details and toothing of certain things and letting a mason actually run with it. You know what I mean? Old school stuff that you see in other countries and also you see in a lot of the older homes in Toronto. But that's not what, those are going to last hundreds of years. They're going to take, but the ones of today, I don't know. These ADUs that they're all building right now, all the ADUs right now, are they going to be century ADUs?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I think it has a lot to do also with the new designers, and they're not architects like before. So I think their vision is a little bit different. So I'm like you, I love brick. I love wood, right? Even like we still like for decks, if it's part of our project, we use a lot of cedar. And people go crazy, like, what do you mean cedar is going to cost more money to maintain it? No, man.
Seal it correctly.
If you do it right away and you do what you're supposed to, just like anything else, there's pros and cons to every
wash
material.
It, clean it, whatever, take it is, care right? of it.
That's who we. That's
it.
Who
will we last a
we
long.
We use
time.
A lot of cedar, man.
Like, cedar on its own, if you left it in the woods somewhere, it will not rot. It will last 20, 30 years.
We use it. We still use it, and the composite, I don't use it.
Oh, I've done one, and I don't like it. I'm not a fan.
I've never installed any composite. I don't even know how to, I see how it's done with clips and all that, but my head doesn't even go there. And I've talked to people who sell the product and tell me they only sell it because it sells and it makes money.
You know how the way I don't sell composite is I try to explain to the clients, do you have kids? Do you have dogs? Do you like walking on it barefooted?
That's right. Totally a no.
I go in the high side of summer when that composite is hot, yeah, you will not be able to walk on it barefoot and your dogs will not be able to walk on it barefoot and your child will not be able to walk on it barefoot. Wood, cedar, you can absorb it, stand on it, sleep on it completely naked if you wanted to. It's up to you. It will never bother you.
Yeah.
And the dogs will love it too. It'll be like a sauna.
Yeah. And it's just, again, like I'm a wood person. That's what I like. We use it interior. We use it exterior. Use it in canopies raised cladding. We do a lot of it. But again, there are new products. But back to the thing we were discussing is this. We're going away, I think, from the natural stuff that worked before. There's a lot of stuff that has worked. Like you're having a brick fireplace inside your house and...
People don't want to maintain. That's the problem. Yeah. I like maintaining stuff. Yeah. I do.
I don't know. Is that old school though? I don't know.
The thing is, what I find interesting about age and experience is you can figure it out in your head how to maintain it like quickly versus when you were younger, you had to actually figure out the ABCs of how to do it. And I think a lot of homeowners now want, you know, they want zero maintenance, but life does not exist with zero maintenance. Life exists with a different version of maintenance. Even if it's composite, you're still going to have to maintain it.
Well, like
it's, you have to wash it, clean it. You'll have to do something. Yeah. You will not have to do as much as the wood stuff, but there's no such thing as zero maintenance in life. That's the beauty of a home. A home is supposed to be worn in, used, taken care of it. I remember having a conversation with a client that we finished a beautiful basement for, came back at the year later, and it looked exactly how we left it. And they're like, no, we're really conscious. You know, we make sure everything. And I'm like, oh man, use it. I was expected to see some nicks here and there. I could touch it up, take care of it. No, we don't want to wreck it. And I'm like, use it, enjoy it. Get your kids, start marking off how high they grow. Like, use it, enjoy it. They're just afraid to do it. And I'm like, it's a reflection of your home. It's you. It's a reflection of your family. Use it. That's how I look at it, right? Yeah. Wear and tear it.
And I think, and I think it also, that's the beauty of having, as a contractor, you have to kind of get your brain in that function of, no, you don't need to spend money here. Like, just, you can leave that and you can work with it and focus on something else to put your investment into, right? Because I'm like you, if it doesn't need to be fixed, don't do it. Just leave it. Like, because you're going to pay for it. Either way, you're going to pay for it if you're going to remove it or not, right? And I think, we are getting spoiled.
I'll tell you a little story that I went to a friend's place. Actually, Antonio was there from Aquastop. And we were looking at all the problems with the home. And we were giving our 2 cents and what we would do and all this other stuff. And he was very appreciative of that. And then he started showing us that he had 2 garages, right? One was all of his tractors and stuff and Kubotas, and he was really proud of all those stuff. And he's like, hang on a sec, guys, come into this other. So he went into the other garage, and that's where he had a couple of very nice toys. And he had a 57 Bel Air there.
Wow.
And it was stunning, right? And then there was another wrap, cover. But we were still fixated on the Bel Air. And what I found fascinating that he told me, and I never knew this, he goes, and I looked, inside there's these little what you think are rivets on the dash, but each one is in the shape of a Chevrolet bow tie. That's when they were building cars with these kinds of details in them that they don't do today. And that's why I have such a hatred for EVs, because none of that, the mindset to think, first of all, every single one of these rivets is going to be a Chevrolet bow tie in the shape of. And then we're going to put it all around the whole dash. And you're like going, that's craftsmanship, right? And then all of a sudden he lifts up. We were looking at the cover of the other one. And then Antonio was just like, is that a vet? And I was like, that's not a vet. And then he lifts it up. And it was a 72 Camaro, black, white racing stripe. Beautiful. Like, there's their appreciation. And that's what I mean. And he started pointing out little wear and tear things on it. And he has to maintain, take care of that. And I'm like, yeah, but that's the beauty of those vehicles, man.
Yeah, you'll never see that vehicle. I was a Ford Fairlane.
Well, that's in the same family as a Bel Air, right?
Yeah, they're beautiful.
Yeah.
I mean, but it's all, again, I think it's all about craftsmanship and quality. Like, people's minds were different, right? Like, it was meant to last.
They took the care and attention to it, to right? Last, but that's last. Applicable in construction.
Yeah.
It's 100% applicable in construction,
yeah,
right?
1,000%, yeah, absolutely.
That's what we need to see more of it, and I love seeing the younger generation bring that up. And I always encourage on my sites, I don't care if it was your first day or your last day, an idea is an idea. Absolutely. Speak up.
Absolutely.
I might joke and say a comment or whatever, but I will definitely consider it. I'll listen.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter, first or last day, I will listen, man.
Absolutely.
I will give you my 2 cents. I want to hear your 2 cents, and let's make a dollar together. Simple as that, correct. Right?
Correct.
Joe, this has been a blast, man. I got to do the 12 questions, man. Anything else you want to chat? You want to share?
No, that's fine.
We covered a bit, yeah. But I'd love to have you back whenever you're ready and you want to come back.
Absolutely.
You want to shout out to anybody on the crew or any subs?
Actually,
or?
I want to thank. Thank as well. I have Fomit. Maybe you know Muhammad.
Muhammad, I know Muhammad really well. Muhammad
does all my work.
Yeah, he's a rock star. I've been to his house there on the ATVs, yeah, booting around.
He's in Caledon now.
Yeah.
I got my architect, Graham Day. Antonio, hoping that we can do some business together in the near future.
Him and his crew is solid guys, man.
Yeah, I love him. He came to my place there, and I was just very, very, very content with his character. I love it.
He cares.
Very transparent.
And he's teaching that caring to the kids.
Correct.
And very respectful that those kids have a teen in their age and they have the similar mindset.
Yeah. And also Stevie from Frank's Flooring.
He's solid.
I was talking to him yesterday. Yeah. He goes, because I was asking him, I said, what's this thing like? Like, what do you do? He goes, oh, you'll be fine. Just go through it. Just, and then the question, now the question, I thought we were going to bypass. Because some of them, I don't even know how to answer. He goes, you'll be fine. But anyway, that's about it. There's a lot of guys.
I guess some guys just get nervous. They're not sure exactly what it's all about.
Well, it's a brain tease, right? It's like, wow, I got to remember, like, you know, what's the worst advice? I don't know.
Nah. But you'll leave, and you're like, oh, we should have talked about that. And I'm like, that's why I always come back, and we'll do another show, and we'll talk more stuff. Absolutely. That's all it is, man.
This is an honor, honestly. It's amazing to be here.
No, thank you, man.
Beautiful experience.
Joe from Teamway General Contracting, Inc. You can reach him at 905-808-5702, www.teamwaygc.com, and on IG under Teamway Contracting, info@teamwaygc.com. You can find them. A person you would trade places with for a day?
Donald Trump.
I would like to, honestly.
Like right now, what he's going through?
I would like to. Yeah, like I to totally would like to through. See. Yeah. I would like to see. Guilty pleasure.
I don't know. I don't even know how to answer that.
There's nothing that you're like, I'll sit down. I was craving a cigar yesterday. I don't know why, but I was just craving one.
Well, I don't drink. I don't smoke. I don't do any of that. So I don't know. Maybe eating like more Mediterranean foods that I love.
It's good
that
food.
I have to watch because of my diet. You know? So.
But they're a blue zone. You know about the blue zones? You never heard of blue zones?
No.
There's five areas in the world. Italy, Greece. There's one in Japan, one in California. What's the last one? I can't remember the last one. They lived the longest, past hundreds, the biggest population of hundreds.
Yeah, because I've had to, like, my doctor just told me I had diabetes and this, and this can be reversed. So I stopped. I don't even take the pills. So you know, like, for me, once in a while, I think, like, you know what? I'm going to go eat this and eat that. And
well, the one common thread with all the zones and their diet, because their diet's like, the Italians drink a lot more wine. I guess the Japanese and sometimes the Greeks, they eat a lot more fish. The one common thread between all the people is that everybody walks a lot every day. They farm. They tend to their gardens. That all contributes to their health. Mm-hmm. And it's true. I believe in.
Yeah.
Something. Least favorite tool?
DeWalt. That is a definite.
The whole brand. Biggest risk you ever took?
Getting back into the dating, like after divorce. That
must have been a little.
Well, that took me all in a loop. I mean, and I mean risk as in growing. Like, you know, it's not like being with women or being on a date with dates, and just to take that next, because you have to get out of a comfort zone.
Yeah.
And I was young, right? Young and still, you know, still wanting to live life, but I was also in a lot of pain, a lot of brokenness, right? So that was one of the.
Yeah, yeah, that would be a bit of a chin. Yeah. Yeah. Best compliment you ever got, Joe?
That I'm very intuitive to people's pain, growth, whatever, anything positive, whatever.
I could see that. Favorite beverage?
Juices, smoothies.
Smoothies?
Yeah.
Any particular flavor?
Strawberry, banana. Yeah.
What never fails to make you laugh? What never fails to make you laugh?
Genuinity. Like someone just being upfront. Like sometimes, you know, like people like we're shooting the shit and just be upfront and not being as rigid.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, just go with it sort of thing.
Just honesty. Worst piece of advice you ever got?
I don't know. My dad telling me that not to go on my own and work for myself. And that's my own dad. And I just lost my dad in August. So, yeah.
He said that?
Well, again, mentality, their mentality is come risk. To this country, risk. Yeah. What are you doing? You know, like, why are you doing this? Why don't you do this?
Take the safe. I get it. I understood
but
it.
But you know what? They're still good in that because he taught me how to be loyal, to be, you know, ethical, right? Go to work and be committed, right? So there's positive in that too, right?
What profession other than your own would you like to attempt one day?
Development.
Yeah,
realist. Yeah, more like just my mind, or a restaurant. But again, all right, That's where my mind, because I love to cook.
Yeah, I could see both.
Yeah.
Totally. Favorite curse word?
Bullshit.
Because there's too much of it right now.
Yeah.
Way too much. What's your favorite vehicle? Any mode of transportation?
BMW.
What era are we talking about? New or old?
No, old. The 7 Series, the 5 Series. I had a 5 Series, so I still have the 725 IL. I love that.
Some of the new cars I just don't get.
No. I'm a Beamer fan. Like, I just love it. Yeah. Mercedes and all
Did
that.
Did you like the 8?
The 850, yeah, but again, for me, I mean, even the M, there's so many of them. M5, the M3, I think it is, M5 now, like, they got so many of them, right?
Yeah,
I'm more like the sedan luxury, I just like to coast, you know, like, yeah,
it's not about speed, it's just about,
yeah,
just going for a drive,
comfort. I'm going for a drive and relax, right?
I want to see more gear shift cars, man.
See, I've never had a hot rod ever. Do I love them? My friends had all kinds, but
just a gearbox. I don't like paddle.
Yeah,
just like mine's paddle, and I can't stand it. I want a gear shift, but to get a gear shift nowadays, you got to buy an ultra expensive car, or you got to buy a much older car.
To
get a gearbox, right? Yeah. And I'm like, yeah, I miss stick. It's nice to rent vehicles in Europe when you got to rent a car. Most of the time, they're stick.
Yeah, see, I won't drive in Europe.
No? No, I don't mind it. I like it. You discover stuff.
I still haven't got the. But I still haven't made the attempt to try it. Maybe this trip. I don't know. We'll see.
Last question: if heaven exists, what would you like to hear God say when you arrive at those pearly gates?
Thank you, faithful and good servant.
Joe, thank you very much, man. Absolute pleasure meeting you. And thank you so much for taking the time coming on the show. You're welcome to come back anytime, man.
I honestly want to thank you so much, because it's not just the experience. It's always good to get to know good people.
Yeah.
Like, we don't have to always agree on things, but just that.
I can feel
the transparency and the honesty, and that's very, very important for me.
Yeah, it is. It's what construction really needs, right?
It goes a long way.
It does. So good luck with everything, man.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Joe. That's it. We're out of here.